You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. You'll be hearing a lot from me over the next few weeks as Carol is taking some time away to work on a special project. She will be back at the helm very soon. In this episode, I talk with Chelsea Jacobs, our friend from Yellow House Story Shop, about homeschooling teen girls. She shares from her experience raising three daughters and some of the joys and challenges of these years together. Before we jump into the episode, let's talk about math. Managing math lessons for multiple kids can quickly become overwhelming, especially when someone doesn't understand a concept. CTC Math provides easy-to-understand video lessons from kindergarten through 12th grade. Each student can review and practice as needed, and CTC Math offers a 12-month money-back guarantee. Simplify math for your family at ctcmath.com or through the link in the show notes. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I have the joy of having my friend Chelsea Jacobs with me on the podcast. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. I've called in the expert on teen girls today to talk. As people come into the middle school and high school years, they start to feel a little shaky about that. So yes. You have three girls that you've brought through the teen years. So maybe you can help us all prepare.
Yes, we are well-versed in teens around here. It's actually one of my favorite stages, actually. I feel like teenage, especially for girls, gets kind of a bad rap. Yeah. But it has been just some of the most delightful years. And probably that is partly from just living life together, homeschooling all these years. There's not this big disruption all of a sudden when teenage, you know, then they turn 13 or 15 or 17. It's like really you get to see the fruit of all of this. Carol always tells us there's all this fruit that comes from all the years that you've invested before that. And even all the years that they've invested before that. I mean, they've also been doing the work. So it's really sweet to watch God kind of form them into what he has for them right before your eyes. You know, it's like, I really think that's what this phase is about. It's like discovering what those things are. What are they passionate about? What is their vision? What is their role in the kingdom? You know, because the God has prepared work for them to do. So I love this. I love this stage. So I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, I personally think that I'm going to really enjoy the teen years and older because of just my personality. I think it's going to work better for me and for my kids too. But I think because I'm not really like a managerial person. Mm-hmm. And so these younger years where you've got to really, you know, do a lot of oversight and firm guiding, you know, and follow up and all this kind of stuff where it's just like, okay, this is not my sweet spot. So I'm really hoping to come into my own in the teen years.
Oh, you totally will. And I do think that's a really fun part. It's like you kind of switch hats. I mean, not in the early, early teens, but as they age through those years, you're really coming alongside them as not a friend, but almost like a coach, I would say, as they're really, it's becoming more individualized and they're learning like what they're really bent toward, what they're interested in, what skills they want to gain. And then I think a lot of it is also like we're reading the same books together. It just feels more of like there's this fun mutual time. At the same time, I mean, there's a lot of changes happening through all those years. And so there are those days where there is anxiety or a lot of emotions. And, you know, you kind of have to learn to be kind of like the stable one. And that's also been a delight because we have a longer vision, a longer view of life. And so you are able to offer that. I just think about even as my kids were entering the different phases of teenage years, like there's a lot of unknowns or there's big things that they're involved in things that really matter. And so there's like big moments like that. And so just being able to steadily walk with them, it really is a gift.
So tell us about your three girls a little bit.
So Kendall is my oldest. She is now 24. She's been married for a little over a year. And she I think about her in the teen years. She is my voracious reader. She loves all things art, music, drama. She studied history in college. So she's my liberal arts girl all the way around. She couldn't decide between history and English, and there was one other major. And I'm like, well, this is because you are a liberal arts educated person, you know? Oh, art history, that was her other one. So she really took classes in all those things. And that's just kind of how she's always been. She, you know, I think about her in high school. I think it's really important that they do have outlets for social fun and, you know, ways to kind of develop those hobbies. But she and her friends have Jane Austen nights. They wrote each other letters. They had like Jane Austen themed names for each other. They would write each other these long, beautiful letters. We still have them. They would dress up. I mean, this is like they had their Christmas party in these huge like hoop skirts. So that was Kendall. And she brought fun to our whole family. She was always the one thinking of what everyone was going to play in the backyard or read next, you know, so she's a fun one. And then Carly is our middle daughter, and she is 21 and she's a senior in college. I would say that she's a little more of our serious one. Or she's really actually not serious at all, but she is more reserved, I would say. But she studied interior design and architecture. So she has been our art student all of her life. But I think about her in the teen years, and she reminds me of just the importance of speaking over them, the values, the vision you see you have for them, but also that you see the Lord forming in them. There were a lot of things that I saw as strengths that she wasn't necessarily seeing yet as strengths. And so it was really important that we, as mamas especially, just are speaking that over them, like the ways we see them imaging Christ, the way we see them just gifted. And I think about her, she was a very gentle, she babysat all through high school. She still babysits in college. Just always connected to children in some way. And just really in a quiet way and in a really capable way, you know. And then with her art, you know, when you're in high school, that's not always something that can be measured, as we've talked about before. It's like all the academics that you think matter the most. And so she kind of saw that as like a side thing that she did. And I feel like the Lord continued to press on me, like, no, this is a gift that I have planned for her, for her life. And so we talked a lot about that, that you have an eye for beauty and you really cultivate it well for others. And anyway, so it was just cool to see how the Lord kind of formed her. She was involved in a lot of creative outlets in high school. And both of Kendall and Carly were ballet dancers all the way through. So that was a huge part of our high school years. And then we have Abby Kate, who's our third and the one that brings all the spunk. She has been an entrepreneur since probably age 8. She has had, I don't know how many small businesses, and she played basketball all of her high school years. And so she wants to be outside and just active with people. She cares a lot about learning. She was my like nonfiction reader. And so she wants to know how the world works. She is hoping to go to law school, and that makes so much sense looking back at her like 12-year-old self. She cares a lot about right and wrong, and she was reading books for fun, like about your rule of life, or, you know, she read Anxious Generation and a book about, what is it called? You Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. It's like to confirm your Christian faith. It sounds like the opposite, but just saying like the Christian faith is dependable and provable, really. So she cares about a lot of those kind of things. So just they all three were so different in their giftings and in their passions and in the way that looked in our house. So it was really a sweet challenge as a mom to be able to speak truth over all three of them and to find ways for them to have outlets for their personhood, right? Like, so whether that was physical outlets or spiritual development or even vocational and even domestic, you know, like thinking about the things that they learned in our home, they're all so different, but it was really sweet to watch.
Yes. Yeah. That makes me think about how you just have this like really intimate knowledge of them, that how Raymond Moore always said, no one knows your child the way that you do. And so then that gives you a leg up in the teen years because you have such an intimate knowledge of your child.
Yes.
That when you have that time that you're not having to cobble into little nooks and crannies of your life, but that you've got that extended time together. So then when they go out, you know, how you talked about like going and having social activities or being involved in different things, you know, teens need that. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes it's to the detriment of their time with their family. So then homeschooling gives you that ability to not have to compromise the time together with the family, but then not to, you know, pin the child down at home because yes. you don't want them to leave. So kind of how do you hold that tension, I guess, of, okay, preserving the family life and also encouraging them in going out and finding friends and activities that jobs and
yes. Kind of no, that's a great question. I think it's definitely a delicate balance. And we, you know, there are times where you're pulling back and other times you're like, yeah, we have time for that. You know, so I think it is like a year by year, season by season kind of decision. But I think even because they are now gone and I've seen the way they have flourished outside the home, I have grown in my passion in like some of these things being available to them in high school because it is formational to be able to engage in the world in work, in meaningful work and in service and in friendships and all those things when they're still under your roof and still walking with you closely, you know? Mm-hmm. And of course we were very selective on all of those things, but I think it's really important. And again, if you think about what do you want them to be equipped to do as they leave your home for wherever they're going? You know, I had like buckets that I've thought of since they left. It's not that I was working with these buckets, but I do think like, if you think about the wholeness of them, of their lives with not just academics being the one thing, right? It's like the three-legged stool that mm-hmm. Carol teaches us from the earliest of days. You still want a three-legged stool in high school, which means it is challenging to fit it all in, right? And we really were adamant about keeping that work, study, and service, in case anyone doesn't know the three legs of that stool. Yeah. But so they are working hard. I mean, they are doing more academic work than they probably were in the earlier years, for sure. I mean, they're studying hard for that. And then, but work was, again, an opportunity to develop those passions, those gifts that they have. So, and that looked different. So Kendall and Carly both taught at our ballet studio. It was a studio owned by mm-hmm. Believers. We trusted their leadership. They were actually very good mentors for our girls. And they got this opportunity to not only be with children, but to use the craft that they had gained over all these years and teach it. And so there's so many valuable lessons happening in that process. And then just the rewarding thing of getting to watch their little classes get on stage and perform these little tiny ballet numbers that my girls had choreographed and decided the costumes of and picked the classical music for. You know, there's all these things that are happening, which was so sweet. And I think about, you know, Abby Kate was an intern for our local professional basketball team here in Dallas. And that is so her. She really wants, from the earliest days, she was ready to be a professional. So anything that helped her feel like she was learning what the professional world is like, she was in for it. But that took a lot of sacrifice. Mark went with her because she is still a young girl. So he was there with her the whole time and until she was older and she was driving herself there and literally running the place, to be honest. That's just how she is. But again, it's because she knows everyone there and we have relationships with those people and she knows, she was truly a gift there and she gained a lot of learning from there. But there were sacrifices in that is all I'm saying. Like Mark had to be a part of that decision. And then like even the work they would do from the home and running businesses like Carol suggests. And like I think about Kendall, she did lettering and calligraphy. She had learned that just for fun one summer, but it became something she could offer people. And we had people give that to grandparents for Christmas gifts or for their weddings. You know, they just would ask her to do little paintings and things. And so just ways to use what they have spent their years learning to do, offering it to others. They learn customer service. They learn how to package something and, you know, how to respond to an email. There's just so many things that they're learning that you're not thinking about, like a big checklist that they need to know, but it's really good things for them to know.
JJ Side here with another fantastic resource from our ministry partner, Crossway Books. New Morning Mercies for Teens, a daily gospel devotional by Paul David Tripp. I open up the devotional to the day I'm recording and I read at the top of the page, "Living in this present broken world is designed by God to produce longing, readiness, and hope in me." And as Tripp continues to unpack that, I think to myself, man, I hope that our teens are having gospel-saturated resources like this put in their hands so that they can stand sturdy and firm and resist the ways in which the world seeks to press them into its mold. You can pick up a copy of this book wherever books are sold, or you can visit crossway.org/newmorningmercies for teens to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account. Now back to our show.
And then, yeah, so, and then you think about service, we were always serving as a family. And that was something that there were times where we all felt like we didn't have time for it, you know, because of the other things that we were committed to. I remember one year we loved this, there's a ministry here for refugee families, and we would teach preschool once a week. And we all had a little buddy, and, you know, I would teach the little preschool class. We were teaching them things like how to line up in a line, or like how to play tag, some of these things that they wouldn't know, but they were all on their way to kindergarten. So we would teach them some fun things like that. But that was on Wednesday mornings. And there were some Wednesdays when Kendall, who was a senior in high school at this point, or maybe a junior, she's like, "Mom, I have so much to do. Can I just stay home?" And it was so hard because I'm like, I know that you do and you need this time, but this still takes precedence for us. So just choosing that this will still be how we spend our time. And we know that you'll have to give up time in other places, but this is a part of our family culture, right? And so, but what I loved watching is when Kendall went to college, I'm not really thinking about that being formational. I mean, I know that it's important to us, but there was a time where she called me her freshman year and said, "I just don't feel in balance and I can't figure out what it is." And on her own, she was like, "I think it's because I'm not serving." And wow. So she pretty much decided, like, I need that three-legged stool. Like, it's really important to me. And so that was not something I expected, but she had that, you know, innately in her to say, "I don't feel like the fullness of myself." And so she was able to jump into serving in an organization and then was already working and doing her studies. And so it did. And she also started teaching ballet at school, like to kind of get the physical part of what she had learned. And so it's just cool to watch as you do these things in high school and allow them to have a little more freedom and even just help them develop what these things are. They leave with this desire to be balanced people, you know, to offer their gifts to the world in different ways. And so I didn't know that beforehand that we were going to see that fruit, but it's really a sweet thing to watch it flourish. And even to the point of like understanding their bodies, like what they need to be eating, what it feels like to be exhausted and needing to pull back. Like some of those things that just happen, like you said, with time, because we're together and we're talking about those things.
Yeah.
And, they're experiencing those things because they're doing a lot, you know, they're giving a lot. And so they learn like, oh, I need to pull back, or like they know I need some sunshine, you know, it's like, I need to go on a walk. It's like these things that you don't realize you're teaching, but that they're learning along the way.
Yeah. And then you give them the ability to have that recalibration. But not because, you taught them, this is all the things you do, but just from the lifestyle that you lived.
Yes.
Then when those things are low or lacking, then they realize, oh, this is missing.
Yes.
Because they've had it before and they're not having it now, rather than I have something's off and they don't have a reference point for what it could possibly be.
Yes.
Like so many people.
Yeah. They've tasted what a rich life feels like, you know, and it's what it tastes like, and they want that. I even think I've told a couple of moms who've asked questions about high school that I start to think of myself, because as people are coming and going, you know, you're kind of like, we did guard our morning time. We had anchors in the day. Like we are all together for this, you know, for Bible and breakfast and morning reading. But then there were days as they got older where people are scattering, you know, or it's like we're going with them to wherever they're going, or, you know, so it's like we're not every day at home like we used to be. Mm-hmm. But I started to see myself as what I called was the keeper of the hearth, like old in historical days where the center of the home was where everyone was fed and kept warm, right? And so that's still the case. You're still warming the home. And so as they come and go, I feel like there is like structure and security and safety here that leads to life, and there's fruitfulness here. And so just because I wanted them to still know home is still our home, like that's our base, right? And everything flows out of this, but it comes back to this. So and again, that doesn't take a lot. That's not a really complicated role. It's like feeding everyone good meals. And, you know, I really wanted to model what is true and good and beautiful and for them to desire those things. So they got to watch me learn a lot of things about how to grow herbs or how to flower arrange, you know, and reading books that I had never read that were on their high school teen list from Carol's list. I'm like, I've never read any of these, you know, so just those kind of things of like, you really have an appreciation for that. And then even into their adult years, we've found that that is attractive to them. They want that. They want home to feel like that for their own homes. And they still appreciate it when they come home to our home too. So your role just changes. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity for you to just bless your kids in this stage and just also, of course, walk with them, speak over them, like I said, but just help them remember who they are and who holds them and all of those things. And you're just cheering them on. You know, it's just a sweet, it's really fun.
Yeah. A few things that you've said have made me think about the remaining parental during the years of, you know, when you told Kendall, no, we are going to serve, you're still holding that line. And that it can get kind of blurry sometimes, I think, for parents to, am I being the parent, like exercising authority?
Yes.
Or am I being more of a coming alongside as a friend, you know, and maybe people slipping into like a friend mode prematurely.
Yes. No, yeah, that's a great point.
Doesn't let them hold the line in the right way, that then, you know, just doesn't kind of reinforce boundaries, that it's like, well, actually the boundary is staying. You have to figure out how to then get what you have to get done in the time that you have, you know, because then when they get to college, they would have, or a real job, it's like, well, you have to still show up and do this and that and the other. So you're really teaching them how to have a real life skill. But I feel like a temptation that is really kind of for moms, especially, could be driven by anxiety of like, well, I want them to get done. Like, I don't want them to not be able to get done what they need to get done, or da 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 da. If you're worrying about that, then it could hinder you from taking that parental, still being parental in these years. Like,
totally. And I mean, I thought that even when I said like, you're like their friend, I'm like, well, yes, you are. And also you're holding, like you said, holding the line. But one thing I think is so important, it's like, I mean, Carol says this all the time, but to begin with the end in mind, which is the name of her seminar for this age for a reason, because I think if you really do that, if you have like, we have a three-legged stool, or we have these boundaries around our time. And we had that like Tuesday nights, as everything got busy, we had to like kind of say Tuesday nights is family night. It's game night is what we actually had, because otherwise we wouldn't still keep those parameters in place for the fun, you know? Yeah. And Friday nights were for movie night. You know, like we had things in place that were like, this is what we do on this day. So they know like, this is kind of not a non-negotiable, like we serve on Wednesday mornings. And it did help those power struggles of like, there isn't a power struggle, because it's like, this is in place. And so you need to have your stuff done. You know, as they hit high school, we were involved in our local co-op. And so they had like a math class and a foreign language class. And those were on Tuesdays. And I found out really quickly, like, we need to have any co-op work done before Sunday, basically. We were finding that it was easy to like kind of say, oh, I'm going to go do my co-op work on Sunday. And so we had to kind of say like, hey, let's have all homework done. I think originally we thought on Fridays, but there were times where that didn't happen. So they needed to do a little on Saturday, but it was just a like, oh, this isn't working for us. Let's back that up and make it work around Sunday being a restful day. So some of those things just kind of work into place if you have a vision for what you're wanting, you know, your days and your weeks and your like lifestyle to look like. Right. But yeah, there were times where it was busier and times where we had to pull back on limits and, you know, that kind of thing. And there were also times we had to consider that specific child, what they're asking for, and really pray for the Lord to show us, because we had to at times make new decisions for that season and that person. You know, I even think like I had a chore chart in place. They did the same chores all of these years. And there was a year in high school when things were really busy and I was not liking my own attitude. I was sounding a little bit naggy, like, don't forget, you haven't done your chore. And I remember Kendall just kind of, she wasn't in tears, but she was just like, Mom, I'm trying, but I am tired. And I felt like the Lord like put on my heart, connect with her, do not like command her, you know, for that season. And so I said, you know what? I would love everyone to serve our family, but for the next few weeks, chores are just not going to be a thing. Like, I will get the dishes done. And it wasn't, you know, my wanting to command that was out of fear of like, I've got to keep the tight reins around here, you know, or like they have to know how to do the dishes, and they know how to do, they've done the dishes for a decade or more, you know? So I just felt like listening to the Lord in that and saying like, lift this right now and it will connect you to them more than, you know? And so just saying like, I'm here, I can do that for you while you're doing, you know, whatever it is. I think it was Nutcracker for ballet, you know? And, and so just being humble enough to say like, I don't have to have all the control, but this is about connection with your kids while also, walking wisely in limits and being parents still. And yeah, just a lot of prayer, a lot of prayer.
Servant leadership.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is.
So you kind of talked about, I don't know, you didn't say non-anxious, but that's what's coming to my mind, is kind of having this non-anxious way about you that sees the things and calls forth what you know about them. Mm-hmm. And how did you kind of handle that as your girls came into their own, like making big decisions and just kind of, or just when, you know, hormones are hitting a peak.
Oh, yes.
And you're wanting to do ungodly things to each other because everyone is going crazy at the same time and stuff.
Right.
That balance, or I don't even know the exact question I'm asking, but just it can be fraught as far as like the mother-daughter dynamic, because you do have this hormonal situation going on that then can kind of make you, you can get into the middle of a situation and then realize, oh my goodness, what just happened?
Yes.
You know, knowing that about yourself and anticipating that, but then also kind of helping everybody navigate that together.
Yes. Oh, that's such a great question. We're still, I mean, you know, they all come home from college and we're all synced up and feeling emotions at the same time. So yeah, those days happen for sure. I think, honestly, I do feel like a lot of that responsibility does lie on the mom to be, to own your own stuff, you know, like to own your own and be aware of your own emotion. That was one thing that a mentor of mine just kind of modeled for me is naming it for my kids. Like, I am feeling overly sensitive today, so that hurt my feelings. And usually it wouldn't, but I want you to know, like, this is why, or whatever. Just naming those different feelings, because we are women and we are modeling for them. Like, hey, I know that I'm overreacting, but this is what that felt like to me. And then even just really educating them on their physical body, on their cycles, on how that affects us in every way, you know, and even just how to eat during it, how to rest. Like, they all know which day of their cycle they need to pull back. Like, they still, I mean, they're better at it now than I am. They know their cycles really well. but it's a gift. It's a blessing for them to know how they're wired and how that affects their dynamics with others. But I also think, just like you said, like, being the stable one, being the one that's non-anxious when they are in a season where they can't always tell what is true, like if their feelings are dependable or not. And so really helping them see that emotion is not dependable, but the Lord yeah. is. And what he has said is true. And so you're modeling confidence, right? And confidence in the Lord, that God has good and that they are on the right track. We had a lot of like anxiety over that of just, they don't know what's ahead. And are they mm-hmm. doing enough? Same thing as we all think as moms, but you can speak confidence over them because you believe what the Lord says is true, even if you also don't know if we've done enough or if,
right.
or if, you know, everything is going to work out perfectly, but you can continue to declare what you know is true of the Lord. I mean, I gave the example of chores, but I think in the high school years, we can also operate out of fear and think, yeah, they're out of control. They're so anxious. We should, yeah, something big needs to change. When a lot of times it is just like, if you can be steady and walk with them and sit up late with them. I mean, I can't tell you how many nights that I was not in bed until after midnight, because that's a lot of times when they want to talk. It's a lot of times when they're worried. So just modeling, but also sitting, reading scripture together, a lot of prayer. I mean, I've mentioned that already, but I think now, even as they're out of my house, is one of the most important jobs I have, is to pray for them. I mean, constantly, honestly, but daily, and pray with them and for them and be specific. And even this morning, I was sending a specific prayer out of a book I love to my third born. And it was so specific, but it was so exactly what we had just talked about last night. And so it's just cool to watch the Lord shape them through your spiritual life, through you, like being tethered to the Lord, you know, abiding in him as the vine, and then like watch, helping them come alongside you in that and helping them learn how to abide in him too. But yeah, I know that a lot of that sounds not so tangible, but it really is. He really does have all that you need. And we talk a lot about Ephesians 3. That's one of my biggest prayers for our kids. And even the part that like, that their knowledge would be of Christ. But it also says that he can do far more abundantly than we can ask or think. And that is for the generation. But you're getting your front row seat to God forming them and shaping them and giving them the strength and the courage and the confidence in him to move into the next phase of life. But yeah, it's not easy every day, but it is beautiful and it's definitely worth it. So,
well, thank you. That's great. Would you pray for the parents listening and moms
Absolutely.
And dads who are raising teen girls these days?
Yes. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to our families, that we can trace your hand through all of our time as you form and shape these young girls for the work you have for them in the world and in their homes and among their friends, and just in their lives wherever they go. And I just thank you for these parents. I know that it is hard work and that it also often feels intimidating to know if we're doing it right. And Lord, we just confess, we lay that before you, because we know that's not what you've asked us to do, to do it right, but to trust you for every single thing we need. And Lord, we know this is an opportunity to depend on you, to turn to you, and to let you do the work. And we just get to give all the glory to you as we watch you do it. We thank you for the opportunity to walk alongside our children. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless those who are listening, with just a confidence in you, that when they abide in you, you really will show them the way to go, and that you are not hiding it from them, that you have good for these kids and you long to show us, and you are delighted in the work we're doing in our homes, and that you will give us all we need to do it. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the hope that he gives us, the just the freedom we have to just live this big, beautiful life, to look for what is true and good and beautiful and live that way, and then let our kids just go out from our homes as arrows into the world and just to bring what is true and beautiful and good to others. Thank you for the way you've been faithful to our family. And I just pray blessings over each one who's listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.